The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. So you're going to uncover the boat this week? Get out there,
if
at least the smaller boat,
if it lays down. Yeah, I'll probably the little boat will probably be out getting in the water before the big one, because it's just so much easier to rig it and go.
Yeah,
just throw like I was talking to Leona. I almost sometimes feel like with the way these weather reports are, just rig it up. Hook it up, get some stuff staged in the garage so I can just throw it on the boat and go right quick. If you wake up and it's calm,
yeah,
and you got a little window, because like I was saying, it's like a game time decision. It's like you just never know with some of these weather reports, like what you're really going to have.
Well, you can always take and get out there and, from when you're doing it yourself like that, just going out to enjoy yourself. I mean, you just go out for a couple of hours if you wanted to,
Yeah, there's a lot of places to hunker down.
And I know there's a lot of times it's like, as far as going out for a couple of hours, like, I always, look at that as, it's going to take you that long to clean the boat up when you get back. So yeah. I like to stay out a little bit longer when I go.
Yeah, I remember.
At least make it worth it,
Yeah, I was thinking, if you're going to be, fishing like back to back two, three days in a row, I mean, I used to frequently just, why worry about giving the thing a whole good flush and clean out when she's going to be back in the water? You park it in the evening, you're going to be headed back out in the morning. Why worry about it? Just spritz it down. And not worry about a real serious cleaning until 2 days later when you're going to get a break for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, it depends on how bad the boat is, And you take and, looking at, flushing that motor, you want to, those engines have have those little zinc plates, also the corrosion plates inside the water jackets too, which we don't never get to see because we don't break the engines down to look at them, but, that's why one of the things you want to make sure you flush out, your motor. But
that's kind of scary. Did you see that on YouTube? There's some, if you search up on YouTube for pictures of it, it looks like they get pretty gnarly.
Yeah, inside the motor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what you worry about too is if they start, corroding and coming apart in there and getting caught in your water jackets and things like that. That's the thing you gotta I'm really shocked that they actually make them like that. I really am. I mean, because to me it looks like they would put them to where they would not cause a problem. And put them on the outside of the motor somewhere. I mean, they're just, they're supposed to attract the corrosion, and keep, the electrolysis and stuff like that happens in the motor due to that salt water. So it looks to me like they would have them where you can replace them easily,
The older designs, it was not uncommon back in the day to have one of the old, like, tried and true, like, just as an example, the old Evinrude Johnson 70 horse three cylinder. I mean, for these things to be 30-year-old motors, and they're still going. Yeah. Nobody's ever sweated that.
Yeah.
Those anodes or whatever in the water jackets. I mean, they just keep going and going. I'm like, well, what's the difference? What, between the water jackets on those old ones and the new ones, other than most of them are just big mega V6s that we never had back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Now they've come out, A lot bigger engines.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
V8s, V6s.
Yeah. that's amazing to me when they start talking about a 400 horsepower outboard. It's that's just got to be huge.
I want to see, they keep talking about some of the diesel outboards. I want to see that.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I don't know that I'd want that.
Well, I'd have to.
Did you know that diesel has that oil in it, you know? And, you know, it's, seems like you'd be putting more fuel or more oil in the water, you know, through your exhaust.
Yeah, plus the four-stroke motors were heavy enough as it is. Diesel motors are typically way heavier.
Yeah, they hold a lot more oil, you know, stuff like that.
Big, heavy blocks.
Yeah.
All their rods, pistons, crank, everything's heavy duty in them, heavier.
I guess they're supposed to last longer, but, you know, having, you know, like I say, I would be concerned about, you know, the oil that's in the diesel fluid, you know, getting in the water.
Yeah, I was talking to one of the pilot boat skippers recently, and I asked him, I was like, you know, we were talking about what, I was over there at Strike Zone and ran into one of the pilot boat drivers, Jonathan, and said, how many, you know, how many hours they got on those things? And I forget exactly how many he said, but I was like, whoa. Yeah, they go, like you said, yeah, they'll go a lot more hours.
Yeah.
Of course, the pilot boats, you know, those things are running every day, rain or shine, 24 by 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can imagine.
We never close.
Yeah, you can imagine the hours they put on there. Of course, you know, and when they run, they're talking probably a good 45 minutes out and, you know, 30 or 45 minutes back.
Yeah.
And then shut down. I guess they shut them down.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I'd be idling out, and I'd see it sitting there idling at the dock. Like,
oh, okay.
You know, they like with typical diesels, like you they're so economical at just sitting there idling. They just leave them running, like the truckers.
That's what I wonder.
Yeah, they'll take a nap. They'll just leave their diesel running because it lets their, I don't know whether they got like a generator that runs off them that keeps some of the stuff going, the heater or whatever. A lot of times I'd idle by the pilot dock, and that boat's sitting there. You can hear it rumbling away.
Mm. Yeah, so you can imagine the hours it'd be on it then.
Yeah.
Because not only would it be, just idling like that, but also, I mean, they run out and back, out and back, out and back. And it's amazing to me how many, when you think about how many hours could be on those motors.
Personally?
Because I don't know when they've had a new pilot boat. I don't know how old those boats are to start with.
My gut feel is that I trust a motor that's had the snot run out of it, you know, not
misused.
Pushed excessively, yeah. Right, but run a lot, you know, a lot of hours as opposed to something that's only been used a few hours every season, and then it seems like those are the ones that you hear about, you know, not making it.
Well, it's like the Honda I had on my Carolina skiff. You know, I had it for 16 and a half years. And then when I got this boat, I was thinking I've had this boat for 4 years. But looking the other day, I was looking at stuff. I've had that boat for 5 years now. And wow, time just passed by so fast.
Oh, yeah.
And so anyway, thinking about that, you know, I sold that Carolina skiff to that friend of mine. And he's still using it. And, I mean, that motor had 4,155 hours on it when I sold it to him. So, you know, thinking about that, how many hours must be on that motor by now? Of course, he didn't use it near as much as I did, but, you know, but he still, 5 years later, so he's still using that same motor because it'd been run so hard.
I've been hearing about some of the outboards that are being used, you know, chartering at some of the remote places.
Mm-hmm.
Getting so many thousands of hours on them, what they're actually burning out or wearing out is the lower unit.
Oh, wow.
And lower unit gears are going.
I guess, you know, I mean, that's a lot of turning many
it
years.
Yeah.
I mean, you figure that Carolina skiff's been turning now for, 21 years or so?
Mm-hmm.
Here, we're going on break, Ted. If you can hold on till we come back, I'll get you on as soon as we come back. And we'll be back right after this, y'all.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance. Building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories. Performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hooker's offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Do you like offshore fishing? Team Buck Rogers Charters has been offering offshore charters in the Jacksonville-Mayport area since 2006. We offer any increment you like from 4 hours up to 12 hours, and we can carry up to 6 people per boat. Large groups, celebrations, corporate events. Does your Sunday school class want to spend a day on the water? No problem. We have 3 boats that can each carry up to 6 people, so groups of up to 18 are welcome. If you have more than 18 people, we can still accommodate you by reaching out to some other great captains who we consider very close friends. If you're thinking offshore, think Team Buck Rogers. Call me, Captain Chad, at 904-502-7408 or book online at teambuckrogers.com. Also, please follow us on Facebook and YouTube at /Team Buck Rogers.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. Let's get Ted on. Morning, Ted.
What's up? How's it going?
Hey, awake. You told me you were going to sleep till 8 o'clock. Well, going to bed at 6 in the evening and going to sleep till 8 o'clock.
It's pretty close to it.
So have you been pie-eyed since 3 a.m. after going to bed at 7?
You know, it's funny because, yeah. You know, when I'm like so tired, I mean, I've been exhausted, you know, because we, you know, have spent, you know, several days, you know, in the hospital this week. And then so been so exhausted. And it's like when you finally get to lay down and you're thinking, oh, man, it's going to be great. And it's like this, you know, I was awake till 1 o'clock this morning. And I mean, you know, having to get up at 4 and come in here, you know.
Oh, man.
It was like, why can't I go to sleep? You know, why in the world can I go to sleep? I mean, I'm tired. I'm exhausted.
You're doing good. I haven't had to wake you up but twice.
Probably sleepwalking.
So, I mean, it's like so weird why your body, you know, it looks like the tireder you get, the less you can go to sleep. I don't know. Maybe it's the age thing I'm getting to.
Well, last weekend it was a sinus infection. And then it said this weekend it's this foot again. It's flared up.
You don't have
out.
Oh, you got that gout thing going on again?
Again on the left foot this time.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you got to be fair. All's fair is fair.
What in the world is, you know, what's causing that? Do they know?
Well, they say pork, and I went to that celebration of life last weekend, and they had all kinds of pork, that center cut ribs and pulled pork and all that.
Pork causes that?
Yeah,
it's good. That's why they call it a rich man's disease, because from eating rich food, they said back in the day, the rich had all the good cuts of meat and stuff, and they said that's where it came from.
I'll be darned, huh?
Well, let me know where the rich man is.
Well, see, I guess you just need to eat some more steak.
I need a bacon flavored sheep's head.
My thing is, I just like barbecue pork so much too. You know,
it's so good.
I was just going to say, I did have gout one time, and it is very painful. I sure know what you're going through, because I had it that one time, and now, you know, doctor gave me these little old tiny pills. They started with a G, and I can't even think of the name of them. But I think you took one day, two the next day, three the next day, and then all of a sudden it was. You know, it was gone after about 4 or 5 days, yeah.
Oh, is that that course of steroids? That's what they used to do with me for my back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you start out. Yeah. You start out taking a bunch, and then they taper it off.
It's not the prednisone stuff, but it's a different, you know, kind of steroid, I guess.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, when I went to that that little care spot, he gave me some of that, and it knocked it out in about 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway, I bought my grandson me and his daddy went in on a Shimano SLX XT and a St. Croix rod.
And that's a baitcaster, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A low-profile baitcaster. And he loves it.
Is that for bass fishing?
You can use it either salt or fresh. As long as you rinse them things good, you know, it ain't going to hurt to use it. It's got aluminum case on it, so it's not going to, shouldn't hurt it.
Yeah.
And he had the biggest smile on his face. He saw that pole and that reel. And I spooled it up with some 15 or 20, I forget what I put on it now, but 15 or 20 pound test mono, and I mean braid, and he's ready to roll.
Did you hook him up with a couple of 5/8 size bolts or nets to tie on the end of the line so he could go out there and practice in the yard?
Yeah, I will. He might come over later today or maybe Sunday afternoon, and I've got a lure out there that I took the hooks off of, and let him throw it with that on there.
Oh, there you go.
You know, one of those what do you call those, God, I forgot the name of them, anyway, I took, they were kind of big lures, like a torpedo.
Super Spook.
Yeah, Super Spook.
Yeah.
One of the big ones.
Yeah, now you can toss them things now, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he was able, you can cast that without even, with no backlash. Well, you don't even have to touch the spool if you got it adjusted right.
There you go. Huh.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Has it got an external adjustment on it, or do you have to pull the side plate apart like my Corrado's and adjust the centrifugals?
It has both.
Okay.
So you can, I put two on and two off on the inside, and I set the dial to about halfway. Mm-hmm. It goes to six. And I think he's going to have no problem. And he can back it off a little or add a little more if it starts to try to, you know, backlash on him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just make sure you remind him that, you know, if it's blowing, if it's steady blowing, and you got a bait caster, you really got to be careful casting dead into the wind.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't gotten that far with him on it yet.
Now, downwind, you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, matter of fact, throw it a little high when you're down. When you're...
Yeah, like the day I was throwing my bomber up there on Hitcher Drive from Whiteshell.
He was doing that when I was first teaching him how to cast one of those. He would throw that thing way up like a big old rainbow, you know, and it would stall. And then his rear, the spool will just keep going.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So I had taught him how to throw it sidearm, you know, so he could keep it a little more level.
Yeah.
And he did real well. That was with my rod. No, he hasn't even cast his yet.
Yeah. Well, good. Maybe you get him out there, like you say, get him out there today or tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, now you got him that outfit. It. Now that he's got outfit, man, you're on the clock. He's chafing at the bit to get out there and use it.
I'm hoping so. Maybe I'll see him more.
Yeah.
And get him out. There's a pond down the road from here, you know, at Crystal Springs pond. And I take him down there and we can play around with it.
Is it one of the state ponds that's got the aerator in it and all that?
Yeah, I got the little fountains.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. They
do they stock it? Is it one of those ponds like that, or is it just a
usually
retention
pond?
They usually do, but it's in looking like in sad shape.
There's
now. It hasn't been taken care of in a while. It's a lot of growth build up on the sides.
Yeah.
And it was real low. And it's like the fountain thing was barely,
barely pumping.
It was hitting the bottom.
Right, just be careful if that water is low and you got some tall grass at the edge. Just watch his moccasins.
Oh yeah, them are bad boys. They're,
yeah, they are.
Them things are mean.
Yeah, they're very aggressive.
I got chased by one when I was.
Oh yeah, kid. Yeah. They'll try to hunt, you know, chase you down. And they ain't slow either. Let me tell you.
I didn't know it, but I ran to a nearest tree and jumped right up in that tree, and I didn't know that they can climb those too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, now you're reminding me of you ever seen the funniest, what was it, the best of Bill Dance?
When the
snake got in the boat.
When it fell in the boat, yeah.
Oh yeah. That was a funny one there.
It was. Appreciate your call, Ted. Tell Miss Gail we said, hey, take care of that man.
Yeah, I hope you get to feeling better, brother.
And are you going to go back to the care spot and get some more of that stuff, knock it out?
Yeah. If I might do that Monday if it's still messing up with me.
Yeah. Yeah, because I tell you what, that's painful stuff. Really
hey,
is.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year,
Miss Gail.
Happy
there
New
she
Year
is.
To you, too.
Thank you. I'm going to take good care of him. We might save a little money going back to care spot with my PLC.
There you go. All righty. Well, take care and hope you get feeling better, Ted.
Thank you. Y'all have a blessed day.
Thank you, sir. at 222-8255. Give us a call. We'll be back.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
A hospital director in Somalia's capital city, Mogadishu, says the death toll from a truck bombing is now at least 73. More than 50 other people were wounded, and the toll could rise. It was one flash reminded them of the devastating 2017 bombing. His 2020 campaign, President Trump is going to be showcasing the American economy. Another record high close for the Dow this week. On Friday, it was up by 24 points. The NASDAQ struggled a bit. It was down by 15. Authorities say gunfire inside a suburban Denver mall left a 17-year-old
with all the hustle and bustle of Christmas shopping and party planning, it's sometimes easy to forget what the true meaning of Christmas is. Well, the Boger family at Boger Shoes would like to remind everyone what the Christmas season is all about. Christmas is about the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, who was born to Mary and Joseph in a lowly manger in Bethlehem. There were no office parties, no Christmas trees, just the arrival of three kings that brought gifts and knelt beside this manger occupied by the Savior of our world. When you think about Christmas this year, please reflect on why this holiday is so significant. Since 1957, Boger Shoes has been providing orthopedic and diabetic shoes for thousands of customers in Northeast Florida. And Boger Shoes offers free evaluations and fittings by four board-certified podiatrists on staff. Good old-fashioned customer service has been the key to Boger Shoes' success since 1957. So stop by 1014 Park Street in Five Points and experience the Boger's difference. Boger Shoes, the answer for hurting feet. And Merry Christmas from everyone at Boger Shoes.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted health care option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is a Christian health care sharing ministry. Hundreds of thousands of believers across America who share each other's medical bills. For over 25 years, they've trusted in the MediShare model because it works. You'll be amazed at what you'll save, up to $500 every month. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable health care for Christians.
Call 877-64-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your health care. MediShare. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
I'm Sebastian Gorka, and this is what you missed on America First. Bloomberg is going to announce that he's running for president. That is an utter and complete indictment of the whole struggle bus. A man who really has the charisma of an old shoe that your dog has chewed over the years. He's getting into the race. What does that mean? It means that they're in trouble.
America First with Sebastian Gorka. Weekdays 3 till 5 on WBOB. How will the weather affect you? WBOB weather.
Mostly sunny today, high 75, then cloudy to 66. As for Sunday, mostly cloudy, slight chance of showers, highs 78. Sunday night, 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, down 68. Monday, 90% chance of rain, mostly cloudy, high of 78. And then Monday night, mostly cloudy, low 51.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And yeah, talking about the mattresses, we were just off the air talking about the mattress. We got a new mattress, and it was like, oh my gosh, it's so much better. My back has been a whole lot better on it.
You ever feel like you missed out on a business opportunity? They get so much money for them mattresses. I'm like,
I know.
And you never have to service them. Once they go out the door, you never see them again.
I know it. And then next thing you know, they always say, you know, you need a new mattress every 8 years, I believe it is. And we probably had this one about 15, 18 years or whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
But furniture, too. My goodness. Yeah, I know. Furniture is so expensive.
Yep.
And it's like, but the minute you go to try to resell it somewhere, you don't get
it's not worth anything.
No. Yeah.
Even if it's in great shape, it's not worth anything. Yeah. I know it. But anyway, so you plan on going out this week?
I do. I'll find a window somewhere. I get embarrassed whenever my trailer hitch gets a little bit of rust on it. I say, whenever I walk by the truck and I see the trailer hitch starting to rust, I'm like, you know, ooh, that's not good.
Especially with the misting we've had and the rain we've had this week and stuff like that. Yeah, you'll be able to see them really good. Trying to, you know, I take sandpaper and sand mine off. And a lot of times, you know, you put the grease on it, and that helps it, you know. I kind of hate putting the grease on sometimes because you lose that ground connection for your lights. But but one of the things I hate about it is you always, when you're trying to do something at the tailgate or whatever, you're going to get it on your pants. I don't care what, you know.
I tell you, you know what's working out real good? Remember I showed you that white square I spray painted on the bed liner inside the tailgate?
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you what, in the dark of night, that I can see that thing and line up that trailer just fine. And, I've got some really good brakes, current, and structure all real close together that I am dying to go out there and hit. And you know what? The last three times I've been there, ain't been anybody near me. Nobody. I mean, they'll come by, and I'll be like, I'm stuck on the bottom. I'm like, you know, I'm not having fun here. You gotta learn to put on an act sometimes.
I know what you mean there.
Or dip the rod tip down in the water. No, I'm not hooked up to a fish here. I'm just sitting here waiting on a bite.
Trying to keep the rod straight so it don't bend.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so funny. We'd be up in the creek sometimes, you know, and you're sitting there, you know, and you're not getting a bite, and then, you know, boat's coming, all of a sudden somebody gets a fish on, and they start hollering and standing up and biting fish, and it's like, okay, you know, that fish's spot's gone now. You know?
Yeah, it's imperative. I got to go out and do some R&D, make sure my two-hook bombers will hook the fish now.
Oh, yeah, they will. They will. You know, and a lot of times, like you say, that, because whenever you have those three hooks on a lure like that, there's three treble hooks. You know, a lot of times that front hook right there, you take that off, you would not believe how much easier it is to work that thing. Now, with me, a lot of times, depending on who I take, you know, this is not for everybody, all of my clients, but depending on who I take, I need a lot of hooks on the lure, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you want every hook you can get, you know, on the lure, so you'll get that opportunity of catching that fish. But a lot of times you take those Bomber Long A's, which, you know, I love so much, and you take that front hook off, and you can cast that thing so many more times without it getting fouled up. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you make a small, I like to make the loop on the front of them an eighth of an inch to a quarter of an inch. You know, if you make that loop small, where, because if you make it a bigger loop, you know, I've seen some loops people tie lures on with, you know, and the loop may be, you know, half inch. Well, that thing can go around that lip, you know, on a bomber.
Yeah.
Or it'll go, you know, the little piece there where the hook goes, you know, the front hook goes. If you're not careful, that lip can get across it if you ain't careful. I mean, but getting across the lip on the bomber, that's going to foul it up too and make it not work right. But you'll see whenever, since you've taken that hook off like you're talking about, you'll see that's going to increase your casting times without fouling up quite a bit.
And there's this one particular area I've been concentrating on, and I am going to cast every foot of that area. It's about a quarter of a mile area. I'm going to try to cast every single foot of the structure and everything in that area till I find out I already know one place where they're holding, but I never pound an area. Get a nice fish or two out of there, move on. Mm-hmm. Go find them because they're going to be in other places. You pound an area and you just run them right out of there.
Well, and also, you know, a lot of times with trout, you know, we talk about how they move up and down a bank. You know, it's not all the time they're going to sit in that one little spot. You know, you catch some of them, but, and if you sit there, you know, they leave. If you sit there long enough, they'll generally come back. You know, if they're working up and down that bank, that shoreline. But a lot of times it's like, you know, they might be working an area, and then on the outgoing tide, they might be following that outgoing tide, working down that bank, and they just continue on right on down that shoreline and mm-hmm. not turn around and come back working it. But, you know, so it depends on really where you, you know, where you're at, how you're working the area, and what the tides are. A lot of times I like to use those tides like on the, you know, last of the incoming and high tide and then the first of the outgoing. That way you've got a chance of them moving up and down that bank, you know. But it's like that day in you and Ted and I was in Mill Cove, and, you know, we found those trout, and we're sitting there, started catching them, you know, pretty regularly, almost every cast or every other cast, you know, fishing for them like that. And then when that tide dropped just a little more, they were just gone.
Bye-bye.
It was like turning off a light. They're just
gone.
That
was a pretty strong bite for the better part of an hour. Mm-hmm. That was pretty much of a gift. But I'm gonna start out doing that, but I am gonna take some dead shrimp with me and work some of the breaks over there and look around for some of the, see if the black drum are in there yet.
And they should be, because I mean the black drum are, you know, they Leon was talking about how good their bite down in the valley, and then of course, you know, they're catching them still off and on at Trout River, the mouth of Trout River. Mm-hmm. So they should be, you know, up and down, you know, in different areas where you've caught them before. I know that, you know, there's one place where we saw a guy catch a couple, you know, big ones. Of course, it was, later in the spring. I mean, we're not even in the spring yet, but it was, you know, a couple of months. Last year after, you know, it was a couple of months after we are sitting now that time of the year. And, you know, he had some 8-10 pounders in there. So, you know, there's, you know, they just get bigger and bigger until they start joining that group of giant drum in the springtime. And then they leave with the giant drum, you know,
still wondering what happened. You know, years ago, it was pretty, pretty dependable to hit those breaks south of the Fuller Warren there. Mm-hmm. And get on the drum there. I probably need to get back there and hit that a couple times too to see, you know, hey, are they back, or did that hurricane? Because that whole area, when that hurricane, mm-hmm. what was it, Irma, Matthew, a couple years ago, that flooded all of Riverside?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They said that was the one that somebody was talking about, how it destroyed some of the grass beds in that part of the river. South of the Fuller Warren,
and it'll change bottom. Hurricanes like that will change bottom. It'll silt up over top of a structure and kill the barnacles and oysters and stuff like that of it, you know. And then, of course, if we had some good strong tides, you know, at the same time, then it may wash it back off before it kills it. But, you know, you consider some of those storms like that, when they move that bottom around, if they get, you know, and I'm talking about, you know, not in 50, 60 feet of water, but I'm talking about shallower water now, when it can move some silt around and get on top, you know, top of some of that structure. If you're fishing also the south of the Fuller Warren, I would definitely go throw a couple of lures across the, you know, those man-made reefs they have out there now.
Yeah, and I mean, like you were saying about the storms will change the bottom. I mean, I think it was Christmas Eve. I was coming across Matthews, and it was like 2.5 to 3 foot wind screaming out mm-hmm. of the north. And that channel right there, outgoing tide, and it was like 2 to 3 foot folding over in that area out there by the mat. It looked hateful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it can be rough. I mean, some of these little boats need to be aware.
I know I've looked at sometimes coming across the Buckman Bridge.
Ooh, that's not good.
You know, and see those times like that. It's like, oh my goodness, you know. It's like that's just unbelievable how rough it gets out there sometimes. Give us a call, 222-8255. We've got one more segment. Let me know if you fish this week. We need to find out what's going on here and see. I know what we've been catching and everything, but you may be catching something different. So let us know. I'd like to hear for some freshwater fishing, too.
Yeah, definitely.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport Shrimp, Seared Tuna, and Spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder. Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And, it's unbelievable to me how some of these drivers, we were watching the semi-truck just about, well, he did land on top of one truck whenever he came flying through there. But, you know, you look at some of these drivers like that, it's so crazy.
I'll stay out of the way. I'll stay over there in the right-hand lane. Y'all can go engage your warp engines and get on down the road. I'm going to stay over here and just get there.
Yep. And I was reading a bunch of stuff about fiddlers. Of course, this is fiddler season, you know. And I had like this, you know, because if you look at the male fiddler crabs, you know, the females have two small pinchers, you know. But if you look at the male fiddler pad, you know, crabs, they have that one big pincher on them.
Mm-hmm.
And did you know there's some right-hand and left-hand males. Have you ever noticed that?
Some of them have
The pinchers on the right. And
now
some
you
of them
ruined
have,
it. We could have had a good trivia question.
Yeah, there you go. And some of them have their big claws on the left. And it appears that through these studies, it's like 50%. I mean, it's that big of a difference. It's, you know, half and half of them are left or right-handed. Yeah. The stuff I was reading, it says it appears that left-clawed males are actually less likely to fight the right-hand claw fiddlers. And I don't know why. Maybe the left-handers just don't have that.
Is this where our taxpayer money goes? The government doing studies now on,
I don't think this is the government.
On aggressive traits of fiddler crabs.
Yeah, I don't think this is the government, you know, but when they do fight, they're less likely to win than the right called fiddlers. But I started looking at the fiddlers in my, you know, when I was doing this, you know, reading about them and stuff. Because, you know, I try to read about them and see, you know, how to keep them alive and this and that and the other thing. But when I was reading that, about them, I went out there and I was like, you know, I have noticed before, you know, I mean, I've picked up a bunch of fiddlers over the years, you know, sheephead fishing like I do each winter. And I've noticed, you know, and I've told people, you know, some of them on the right, some on the left. And they're like, no way. You know, they're an animal. They're either all on the right or all on the left. And then all you got to do is take the bucket and just set it down and say, look in there. And you can see that some of them are on the right, some mm-hmm. on the left, you know. And I had no idea that it was like 50-50, you know. I thought maybe there was some that was maybe the big pincher got broke off on the one side and, you know, during a fight or something. And then maybe their other pincher grew bigger, you know, and before mm-hmm. they could grow it back or something like that. Yeah. But no, that's not the case. It was just weird how some of them are right-handed and some of them are left-handed. I felt that was kind of neat looking at that because the different fiddlers like that. It's amazing to me that this stuff like that just happens, you know. And it's so funny whenever you look at those fiddlers like that and you look at them and you think, because you know, a lot of people that I take with, if they want to, you know, they're like, hey, show me how to hook these. I'd like to hook, you know, hook them up on. So I show them and, you know, and then I take the fiddlers with the big pinchers, the males, and I always twist that big pincher off and throw it in the water. And then just put the fiddler on the hook because, you know, they got those big pinchers on them. If you leave them on there, if you notice when they start getting weaker or whatever, you know, and they're starting to die or whatever on your hook, you know, that pincher just kind of hangs out there.
Yeah.
Well, if you're fishing in current, you can imagine how that's going to twist your line up, you know. I mean, it really will. It'll have to catch it, and it'll have to push it around and twist your line up like that. So I always just twist that pincher off and throw it.
Really? I kind of had a tendency to
leave them on.
Leave it on there because it's like a big white flag underwater, like, hey.
Yeah.
Look at my big old claw here.
And some people I fished with like to leave them on. You know, and like I say, if you're not in a bunch of current, I could see where that would be a benefit. Is something extra they can see, you know. So that's pretty neat too. But looking at that, when I get people to, you know, they want to bait their own hook and they want to learn how to bait them with the fiddlers, they always pick the females. You know, they don't want to pick up that fiddler with a fiddler with a big
pincher. The one that's armed. Yeah. I want the unarmed.
Yeah, they always pick up the females, and, you know, and it's kind of funny to me. I've had people that actually took needle-nose pliers and pick them up with that. Mm. And, you know, and it's kind of funny.
I just try to kind of lasso him and pin that big claw back up against him.
Yeah, you just reach down and grab his elbow on that big pincher.
You got to be real quick, and you know, when it's warmer, though.
Yeah.
They notice how fast they are.
Yeah. Especially if you knock a bucket of them over in the boat.
I can't remember the first time. I can't remember when I discovered or my first fiddler encounter, because where I grew up, the fiddlers all stand about 10 inches tall.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They're the big land crabs. They look just like an oversized fiddler.
Oh, they do. Yeah.
Man.
I know, Dan. You're talking about down the...
Yeah, like that one everybody's seen that. The one with the knife in his hand.
Oh, yeah.
The crab, the land crab with the knife.
Yeah.
That's hysterical.
It is hysterical. I know it. But, you know, I could not believe. I mean, those land crabs down there, did people fish with them?
No, they eat them. So they harvest them and eat them.
I mean, it's like the blue crab here people eat also, which I'll never eat another blue crab. That's just too much work for what little bit of meat you get.
I was shocked. But, one day Leon brought me a blue land crab that he got from the just off Heckscher where his old shop was and brought it to me, and I was flipping out. I was like, where did you get this? You know, I thought he might have brought it up from like Stewart or something down south, but no, it come right off of Heckscher, and that's not the first one that they've seen out there either.
Oh, wow. I'm just shocked that you say people usually don't fish with them down there. I would think any crab you would want to fish with, you know, because I know they use small crabs, regular crabs and stuff like that for permit.
About that. The first 20-pound sheep's head is going to be caught on a live land crab. Yeah.
But, yeah, those things are huge. I was shocked when we were down there that one year and they're just running across the road and stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they have certain times of the year down there, and then when it rains, they all come up and out of their holes because they're just like fids. They don't want to be, they want to be able to dip their gills, but they don't want to be saturated and immersed.
Mm. And it's funny though, whenever they're running, I mean, it's like when you're driving down the road, you cannot miss them. I mean, there were so many of them when I was down there.
There are, yeah.
And it was like just they crazy.
Cover the road.
Yeah, it was crazy that you're just running over them and they're just cracking. And
well, just like when you're plugging a shoreline, casting a shoreline, you're moving down there, the one bunch of shoreline where you'll come and the fiddlers are like covering the beach. That's the same way the land crabs are, just
weird.
Bigger.
And the thing about it is like if it looks like to me some animals would be feasting out on them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, we have raccoons and otters here that, you know, they love to get into crabs. You'll see them on oyster beds or rolling over rocks and stuff like that in the creek looking underneath for small crabs. So, I mean, I would think down there that they would just be, I mean, all over them down there trying, you know, just having a feast.
Yeah. I've talked to people that would actually put them in a pen and feed them old rotted lettuce and tomato and when the vegetables go bad or scraps and they keep throwing the scraps in there and the land crabs keep eating them and they actually feed them and feed them and feed them and fatten them up.
Oh, wow.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Just like raising a hog, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. They make the Latin folks down in Miami make a dish called, they just call it crab and rice and it's land crab.
I'll be darned. Mm. That's funny. I want to remind everybody, January 22nd at 57 Heaven there in Orange Park, just south of 295 off of Blanding on Wells Road, 6 p.m. January 22nd, Captain Chad Starling's going to do a Wahoo seminar. Come out, have some good food, enjoy yourself, and, listen to Captain Chad speak. And I'm sure he'll, be able to talk about anything else out there if you, ask a couple questions or whatever. Appreciate you coming in this morning.
Oh, always enjoy it.
I do too. Enjoy having you. And I didn't hear from Bill this morning. I'm kind of surprised, but now I'll probably hear from him since I mentioned his name.
I'm looking forward to Captain Chad's Wahoo seminar.
Yeah, I bet that's going to be good.
Hope he brings in some of the reels too, rods and reels.
Yeah, he might.
Ought to have some nice looking hardware there.
Stay tuned for Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law, coming up in the next show here. And we'll be back next week. Happy New Year to everybody out there. I hope 2020 is going to be a great year for you. So have a happy New Year and a very prosperous New Year.
See you next year.